I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, decisions. The number of personal decisions we're making every day has probably shrunk. We're driving less, not packing our kids' lunch, not eating out as much. But the decisions we are making have likely taken on a whole lot more significance. When or if to go to the store, what to buy, when to disconnect from the news. We'll be talking a lot about decisions in the next few weeks here on Tested, but today let's focus on the decisions that have already been made by those with political power and what impact they might be having on how we're going to get through all this. Those decisions by people in power have been all over the map, and Shamaya from Durham has noticed. She pointed out that North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has taken a more assertive stance than leaders in other states.
And then you have a mayor in Florida who cares more about his economic prosperity than that of the well-being of his neighbors. And what are we going to do? Do we have to go into martial law or not? And goodness knows, I do not want to be a part of martial law. And I do not want us to be like Italy. So what do we do for mayors who are not listening to the severity of what is happening?
So let's go back and take a look. It was a little more than 2 weeks ago when Governor Roy Cooper held his first public briefing about coronavirus. His tone was calm and resolute on March 6th.
People will read more and talk more about this virus. And I understand that people are worried. Know that the health and safety of our state is a top priority. And we will continue to approach this situation aggressively.
Since that Friday more than 2 weeks ago, Cooper has been aggressive, closing schools, pushing for public events to be canceled, and last week, ordering restaurants and bars to shut down their public spaces. That last one irked Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, who's running against Cooper this fall. Forrest blasted the decision in statements and on social media for its economic impact, before walking it back under intense criticism. Forrest spoke on the Casey O'Day Show on 106.1 FM, a conservative talk station in Raleigh on Wednesday.
I think all leaders in North Carolina and all the people need to know that everybody's very concerned about coronavirus. Nobody wants to see anybody impacted by this. Nobody wants to see the numbers grow. Everybody wants to see the curve flattened. And we need to make sure that we're doing everything, all of us, everything in our power to take care of those that are most impacted, the elderly and people with immune deficiency and those kind of things. So I think everybody's on the same page there.
It would seem that, for now, what Governor Cooper has put in place has worked. Let's look at some numbers, with the caveat that these are changing by the hour. North Carolina is the ninth largest state in the U.S. by population, but somewhere around 17th or 19th by the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases, depending on when you're looking. And we've conducted more tests than all but about seven other states. And as I'm saying these words into this microphone, we're one of only a handful of states with no reported deaths. And North Carolina is, by far, the most populous state in a country where someone has not yet died due to COVID-19. Of course, that can and probably will change. What won't change is that key decisions will have to be made by people in charge in the coming days and weeks. So let's start there with Rose Hoban, the editor of North Carolina Health News. Are lawmakers like Governor Roy Cooper making the right decisions to stem the outbreak here in North Carolina?
Frankly, I think they've all done a pretty good job. They're doing a lot of communicating, which I think is useful. I think Cooper is listening to his DHHS people, you know, the scientists, the epidemiologists, and Secretary Mandy Cohen, mm-hmm. who's been incredibly cool and collected in public with really clear messaging. Her public demeanor and level of calm is so striking. So I remember on Tuesday, March 10th, the day of the last Legislative Oversight Committee meeting for Health and Human Services, when she came in and her messaging was so much more urgent. It really caught my attention. And I had just spoken to her the previous Friday and she'd been, you know, relatively sanguine. And then that Tuesday she came in, her demeanor was completely changed. And I asked her that day why she ramped up that tone of urgency. And she said, you know, I saw how Italy went from a couple hundred cases to having their hospitals overwhelmed in 11 days. You know, and I think one of the things about public health is it's really a fine line to walk, because if you do too much and nothing happens, then people are going to say, oh, you overreacted. But if you do too little and bad things happen, then they're going to say, well, why didn't you do more? So it's a really tough line to walk.
So with that in mind, a little more about what we heard today. The governor issued an executive order closing public school facilities until mid-May. Here's what he had to say about why he made that decision.
Now, I know that many parents have been expecting something like this. Many of you have become homeschool teachers in the past week. And I know that this is extremely difficult for you and your children. But this is what we need to do to help to slow the spread of the virus. And I'm committed to ensuring that our students get an education and get as much education as they can this year.
That went over well in some corners of my house, less well in others. The governor also said that grocery stores will stay open, as will restaurants doing curbside or takeout. There were a lot of other issues addressed in the 50-plus minute briefing. What did you take away from what you saw?
Well, actually, I wasn't listening. While the governor was speaking, I was talking to a microbiologist. I got the notes on it from, you know, one of my other reporters. And this guy was telling me about how if you really need to keep people from getting this disease, you have to keep them at least at arm's length, minimum 3 feet, preferable 6 feet. And, you know, you really can't do that with kids in school. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy for me to say, well, you know, it makes more sense to close the schools because, as you know, I don't have any kids. But, you know, but this is like they're trying to arrest this thing in its tracks. And it seems pretty clear that children are not as affected by COVID-19. And there's lots of interesting ongoing research and, you know, hypotheses about that. But it doesn't mean that they're not carriers.
So looking ahead, what could the governor do still if we see COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, maybe even deaths go up?
Well, first off, I think it's remarkable we don't have any deaths yet.
Yeah.
Right? That means that we're doing the right thing. I could see shelter-in-place orders, perhaps. You know, I think the reason we're in relatively good shape right now is that Cooper was pretty forceful early on. I was talking to my team this morning about the fact that we may be in this for the long haul, and sure enough, we've got schools closed until May. So suppose we manage to keep case numbers relatively low in North Carolina, and then we say, well, yeah, let's ease up some. Well, that's got to happen in other states, too, the whole time. Otherwise, people could show up from, say, Florida, which has been slower to act, and then they have coronavirus, and they seed the state with cases all over again. This is like not a one and done. You know, people think about the U.S. as being like one country, but it's really like 50 small countries with different management.
Right,
so I don't envy Cooper or Cohen or any of these officials the decisions they're having to make and the consequences they're having to weigh. This has got to be brutal decision making.
Well, and the governor and Mandy Cohen have been in the spotlight because of all the calls they've had to make this month. But looking back a little further, the General Assembly has made decisions in the past few years that could have had a significant impact on how COVID-19 plays out in North Carolina now. And we'll save talking about Medicaid expansion for a later time, but let's discuss public health funding. How's it been in recent years, and how will that impact how we manage this outbreak?
Well, I have a story that's going to be running tomorrow morning, looking at how funding for public health in North Carolina has been essentially stagnant in the past decade. According to data collected by the Trust for America's Health, North Carolina ranks around 40th in the country in funding to public health agencies like local health departments. We've gone from about 9.5 million people in the state in 2009 to close to 10.5 million people in the state in 2019. And we've had essentially a flat budget from the General Assembly, going from 147 million to 157 million total. And the funding for communicable disease outbreak surveillance and prevention has been essentially flat at between 4 and 5 million a year for a decade. You know, I spoke to John Morrow, who's a retired director of the Pitt County Health Department, and he said he'd come to Raleigh and legislators would say to him, well, we support you 100%, but we don't have any money to give you, even as lawmakers were passing tax breaks and racking up a budget surplus. So that's left public health agencies understaffed with what one health director called lean staffing.
Rose Hoban is the editor of North Carolina Health News. She's also a registered nurse and has a master's in public health. She'll be joining us regularly to discuss the COVID-19 pandemic. And that site again is northcarolinahealthnews.org. It's a must read in these times. Hang tight, more in a moment. This would be a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve our community and the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history. And we couldn't do that without your help. So thanks, and if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to perhaps increase your pledge. In this space every day on Tested, we'll look at a story or a development that you may have overlooked in the enormous wave of everyday coronavirus news. Over the weekend, the North Carolina Division of Parks and Recreation had to shut down a number of state parks, including Hanging Rock, Raven Rock, Lake Waccamaw, and Crowder's Mountain. The reasoning was obvious and unassailable. The counties where they're located had declared states of emergency. Those counties wanted fewer people coming in and out, and the exact opposite was happening. Katie Hall is the spokesperson for the state park system.
We are seeing double and triple average visitation at many of our state parks, including Crowder's Mountain, Raven Rock, Hanging Rock, and now even Stone Mountain State Park. And what we're trying to do is do our part in respecting the county's need to protect our citizens by reducing influx of visitors from inside and outside the state.
It's understandable, right? People swarm to state parks because I'd assume they're like me and my family, hoping to get some fresh air after way too many Zoom meetings and hours of Fortnite and reruns of House Hunters. Hall says more state parks are likely to close. She says visitors can help by visiting during weekdays and off hours.
We'd ask that when folks see the parks are crowded, that they go to a different access area, a different trail, or a different park, or that they come back at a different time. When you see a full parking lot, you can expect to see full trails. And as you know, when you pass someone on a trail, it is difficult to keep the social distance of 6 feet that we're being asked by health departments to maintain.
It's a big world out there, but in some places not quite big enough for even outdoor social distancing. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.